Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. Steve here, introducing a clip from our Journo Insight show. I had Neil Jones from Goal.com in studio like we do every single week. And yet I asked Neil about Liverpool's potential agreement with Matheus Nunez and what's going on around that one. So yeah, check out what Neil had to say. Matheus Nunez, then we've just talked about him briefly. So this one, it's a relatively strange story, it feels like. So it came from John Pearce and Sam Wallace in the Telegraph. He said that Liverpool have made the commitment to go back in for Matheus Nunez, and as things stand, the deal will be agreed around €50 million or £44 million for him to join in the summer. It was in this story, they go on to say, and I'm paraphrasing here, Liverpool tried to get him in the summer, or were thinking about trying. They used the term, there was a roadblock, which again, whatever that is. So then his agent got him to Wolves with it almost looked like an agreement between all parties, just can have him, but Liverpool can have him when they want him, kind of thing. Is that kind of piece of things together?
I mean, listen, first thing to say is that's a live story. You know, those two putting their name to that, you can trust that story. You know, I don't want to go all sort of Anfield edition. Do they do that with the medals?
They put the goal. Someone does.
Someone does that. Whoever that is. Sorry if I got you wrong there, but I don't want to go down that
green red.
Yeah, that kind of thing. I think we can. That's a green, you know, in the
John
sense.
John
Pearce is as connected as you can get. That's the Wolves angle, I imagine, as well. Sam Wallace is pretty well connected as well. So I think you can.
Mendes isn't the agent.
He's a guest a few clients. I mean, Wolves, it's sort of there. There's a little bit of an acceptance with that with Wolves' policy. I don't think it's ever happened sort of as dramatically as that, but there's an acceptance that these players are just passing through. And, you know, you're not going to be building statues. Maybe Ruben Neves is a example the opposite way in that sense. But
I don't think he'd mind the transfer at some point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but you know, you look at Jota being an example. I think had he not injured himself terribly, I think Raúl Jiménez probably would have moved on at that point. You know, there's others that maybe haven't even sort of. They're not fresh in the mind.
Pedro Neto was on the move.
Another player who's had, you know, yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if he does move. I think Aiton Ori's another one who I think he's a really good player, but I think he's another one that'll be primed for a move if he carries on developing. So they sort of accept that, you know, if you're going to get players dropped on you as they do, you know, your job is sort of to just make them as good as they can for the time being and then wave them goodbye and get the next wave in.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I mean, Nunes is an interesting one in particular because he was linked obviously in the summer, and there was a bit of, you know, sort of clamour for Liverpool to get him done. The problem was he joined Wolves so late in the window that he ended up playing for Sporting Lisbon before the window closed. So that puts the roadblock in there in the sense of he can't play for Liverpool.
If they signed him now,
he could be registered, but he couldn't play, so he's got to stay at Wolves. And I mean, I suppose why does it make sense to sign Matheus Nunes? His age, his pedigree, his talent. I think we shouldn't even discuss that kind of thing when we're talking about transfers, because we should take it as read. They're all talented, but if you know the price. You know the price, and you know the player's demands and his agents and what it's going to cost you. That's I think that's a big tick in the box really for Liverpool, because it enables them to plan everything else around it. So if you know that you've got, you know, you're not going to have to go and sort of meet a release clause, we've seen with Enzo Fernandez, for example, or, you know, you're not going to sort of end up in a position where it's like, wow, this has got big. You know, this has really sort of got into a 60, 70 million pound, as could potentially happen with someone like Moises Caicedo or Declan Rice. You know, if you were looking at that, you don't really know what you're going to, even Bellingham to a degree. So I think that's why it would make sense. And obviously as well, you've also given him, even if it's bad experience, and he hasn't had a great time at Wolves. You know, he played last night, should have scored last night actually. But he hasn't set the world alight at Wolves. He's done sort of okay. But even that experience is very, very valuable for him. You know, he's got 12 months of English football, 12 months of English living, 12 months of language and whatever else that, you know, you can benefit from it. You know, if you've got a doubt about it, if you say, oh, he's failed at Wolves, you know, I'd sort of use Javier Mascherano maybe as the sort of...
If they knew they were going anyway.
The comparison, yeah. You know, like, listen, you know, let him go and I don't know, make the mistakes or, you know, shovel the you-know-what at West Ham, and then we'll have him when we can, you know. Maybe that will be the sort of the thinking behind it. But yeah, it's an interesting story. Great story from Sam and John. And, you know, hopefully a very good player for Liverpool in the summer. But the problem is it doesn't help them now.
No, that's the thing. We've always...
You get a good reception Saturday anyway, won't he?
Yeah.
You'd have thought.
Do you remember when Alisson turned up for that friendly with Brazil and Croatia?
I remember Virgil playing when it was sort of clear, wasn't it?
I took my son to that game. He was like, why are we all clapping Brazil's goal? He was like, it's probably going to be our goal in a few weeks.
I remember that.
On this Nunes thing, we've always... I think the general acceptance has been Bellingham or... They won Bellingham, we know that. Bellingham... A mid-tierish signing in terms of transfer fees, which £44 million kind of is these days. It used to be our record sign, it's not now. It gets you the squad player, essentially. And then maybe, like you said, the opportunistic, the free sign or the little whatever.
Or the project player, like Bacchetta.
Bacchetta's coming through. It all adds up. But like I said, going back to it, is that's the summer. The summer's the summer. Like Liverpool... Do the plans change if they're not in Champions League? How does that affect? Does Jude Bellingham want to play for Liverpool? If Liverpool are sixth in the league and nowhere near anything, and Real Madrid beat them in the first time they got into a knockout, that's the here and now of it. Is that sound? That's the summer we can get to it. Liverpool's they might go, well, look what happened with Virgil van Dijk. It was sound. We waited and we got there and it worked out. But from a there'll be supporters watching and listening to this now, and I think I'm in this boat too. It's like, yeah, the summer's great, don't worry about it, but like we've got like loads of footy left between now and the summer, and there's like Liverpool are still in the Champions League. There's things still to play for, and it does feel like that we need to cross that bridge. But is that where you go back to that, the opportunistic free or whatever it is? Is that that they you could do that one in January, because they're going to need three, probably they're going to lose three, so they're going to need to replace all of them. Maybe if Alfa Meller, I know you wrote, he's not going to be hanging around. So there's Milner, Chamberlain, Keita, Melo out of squads. I mean, we'll see how that, Milner probably stays, who knows. But yeah, either way, there's a lot to replace. So January could be the one where you go, actually, the body, and I mean that sounds very disrespectful to whoever it is comes in.
The squad player.
Yeah, and then the other two come in the summer. It might. I don't think it would have anyone jumping for joy for per se, but that might be the route we're heading towards.
Yeah, it could be. It could be, and it won't go down well, but it could be the one where you sort of look and go, well, do you know what? No one's injured at the moment, really, in midfield. You know, the options are there now, really. I mean, Henderson's got concussion, Milner's coming back, but Fabinho's available, Keita's available, Thiago's available, Ox is available, even though it looks a little bit like he's been moved up a line, doesn't he? Curtis is coming back.
Maybe he's in midfield when Gakpo comes in, Ox is available.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. And then, you know, Arthur could be back by, I think, this month. So, I mean, that's not something I buy into, in the sense of, like, it's all right. Like, they're all fit. You know, I think even when they're all fit, to be honest, I think there's still
quality issues.
An issue of reliability and suitability, really, of how Liverpool are playing, because we've seen... In the piece you mentioned earlier, it was sort of a bit of a defence of Harvey Elliott, really, because he seems to be the lightning rod for criticism. And I sort of said this week, I said on a show that it's almost the worst thing you can be at the moment is available, you know, the way Liverpool is, because people are sick of you. You know, people like Milner's had it for years, really, where it's like, oh, Milner again. Somebody's available. You know, he's playing because others are injured. Harvey Elliott's played every game this season, or featured in every game this season, 26 games. Because he's been available, and you know, now it's like we're sick of him, though. You know, because he's small, and it's but they haven't had the opportunity to sort of often enough to play their best players, and even when they have, some of the best players haven't been playing particularly well either. You know, I thought, you know, Fabinho's had a real struggle this season. Jordan Henderson had an absolute nightmare against Leicester. I thought Thiago had an absolute nightmare against Villa. So it's not like, you know,
Van Dijk and Brentford.
Yeah, Van Dijk, you know, I thought Salah was dreadful at Brentford. You know, so there's these issues are sort of, that they're always there, really, and it doesn't matter. It almost doesn't matter who plays in midfield. There's sort of, there's something wrong somewhere in the team, and you know, there's a finger being pointed. But the point I made, really, is sort of just how unsuitable Liverpool, or how lacking in certainty Liverpool look in the way that they're playing. You know, they almost don't have a sort of the fallback of just, you know what, we're not playing well here today, but God, we're going to be hard to play against. They actually look pretty easy to play against, you know. Yeah. And if you think back to that first sort of hour at Fulham on the first weekend of the season, and that's sort of been the blueprint for teams, hasn't it? You know, get right into them, get amongst them, put them on their backside, you know, in the midfield, counter attack on them.
And they can't run.
And they can't, you know, you can bully them a little bit, and you can sort of, you'll get chances in the game. And every team that's played against Liverpool, really, with the exception of Bournemouth, you know, they've had chances against them. And there's been moments where you've thought, oh God, that was a big save, or that, you know, I'm glad he didn't control that one, or, you know, that was if he'd played the ball right there, they were in. So that, it's so consistent, isn't it? And you look at, you know, again, there's a lot of half empty, half full sort of conundrums in it. I've got, you know, if you want a half full, all the games that they've lost this season, at some point they've been right in the game, and you've thought, go on, go and win it, Forest, you know, Leeds 1-1, Arsenal get back twice to 2-2, Manchester United, you know, they were 2-1, if they'd have scored earlier in the game, you'd have thought, actually, United were weak there, you know. Maybe, all right, Napoli, we'll take Napoli out of the equation as well. Barring, really, you know, not many games that you've thought they never had a chance of winning.
And on the flip side, even the ones they won, they've let the goal in first.
Yeah, exactly. So all the games have sort of been semi in the balance, haven't they? Apart from, you know, they've dished out a couple of beatings, haven't they, to Rangers and Bournemouth. But exactly, so it's fine margins, and the sort of the certainty that, you know, when those games were in the balance over the last sort of 4 years, more often than not they've won them. And you don't really you might do it on the Monday after the game, you might have, you know, a post-match sort of podcast or whatever, and you'd say, do you know what, we're great there. But over the course of the season, they just become sort of legend, you know, that Liverpool won, went to Villa won, went to Southampton won, went to Crystal Palace won. Now it's like, they might lose this, you know, even at home sometime, you know, even a 2-1 against Leicester on Friday. I wouldn't have been surprised at all if Leicester had equalised. In the past, I would have been saying, that's not going to happen. And even if they do, Liverpool will probably get a third. You know, I remember the Leeds defeat. I think Jürgen said, I think he said even at 1-1, it felt like the crowd thought there was a twist coming at the wrong end, and it did. And that just hasn't been the case for a long time. So it is worrying that's, you know, Liverpool are now mere mortals as opposed to this sort of super team that, you know. I wrote a piece earlier in the week on my personal page where I said the amount I can name that I remember them vividly. I remember the journalists sort of looking at me and saying, "Oh, you know, like we're getting back to 1-1 at Crystal Palace and Aston Villa, where they're going to me, oh, you know, they're giving you a right good game here, aren't they, our boys?" And you're sort of thinking, "I'm not worried. Yeah, you know, exactly. I'm not worried." I remember Southampton last season, second to last game of the season. The team news drops and the whole world goes, "Oh my God, Liverpool have tossed it off." I was like, "No, they haven't. They'll win. They'll win tonight." I remember them playing Shrewsbury with the kids in the cup,
yeah,
and telling everyone, "They'll win tonight. They'll win. Don't you worry about them. They will win." I don't think you can say that with any certainty now, even to the point of this game on the weekend. I don't think you can go into it and say they'll be fine. You're sort of waiting to see, and even when they get into a position where it's 1-0 or 1-1, you're still thinking, "Oh, there might be just a little sting in the tail," and that's what they've got to fix. As much as the personnel, they've got to fix the way that they're playing and the sort of the control and the certainty that they're playing with. That is sort of priority number one. Maybe it is personnel that will help fix that, but first and foremost, start playing.
I was about to say, there's no one sign. I mean, one sign it can just transform your team, but there isn't really, I don't think, given what we've been saying, the opportunistic or the whatever sign. I can't think of anyone who's just going to wander in and just make that all better. It's on everyone to do it.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I suppose as well, the fact that it's the midfield makes it hard. You know, listen, if Virgil van Dijk can do that, can't he? Because you're not dominant enough defensively, and you're not winning your headers, and you've got no leader and voice back there. And Virgil van Dijk comes in and he's that. Yeah, okay. Luis Diaz, yeah, you bring in a player who's right in form and is direct and plays, you know, is a match winner. Yeah, of course, that does it. Maybe Gakpo might prove to be it. And listen, another thing that I think does get lost in amongst all the analysis, including by people like me, is just the difference it makes scoring the first goal in a game, and maybe Gakpo becomes that man, the Jota. How many times did Jota last season? You know, you might start the game and be like, "Oh God, Burnley having a good go here, 1-0 Jota," and the game just changes completely. Villa, you look at that, get the first goal, makes such a difference, doesn't it? You know, even that means that even when Villa have their spell, you're still ahead of the game. If Liverpool score first at Brentford, I think probably they go on and win the game. You'd hope they would. Maybe Gakpo becomes that player that just, the first chance that comes in the game, it gets taken, and Liverpool
just
feel a little bit more secure. I mean, that seems to be his strength. Whatever, you know, what I've seen of him, but what I've spoken to people about, I spoke to his personal coach, and I said, "What's the first thing that you say you don't need to touch?" And he said, "His finishing is fine. His finishing or his last action is just, that's fine. That's all taken care of. What they've worked on is everything around that, in terms of, you know, positional play, where to be on the pitch, understanding, awareness." So, you know, we're talking about one player might not be able to transform this team. Maybe he can make a big difference. I mean, he's going to need to. But that's why you spend that money on a player, isn't it? You know, you shouldn't be inviting a player in at £44 million or €50 million and saying, "No, come on, we'll dip him in and out." When you're in this position, it should be, "No, he goes in and let's see if he swims," and hopefully he does. And like I say, if he can do, you know, sort of what Diaz did in terms of just carrying on his form and just bringing a bit of positivity and, you know, energy to proceedings, it can have a knock-on effect in the sense of, you know, you've got a bit more certainty, you can play the ball a bit earlier, you know, you can work around the front three a little bit more. It's not a criticism of Oxlade-Chamberlain, but he's not a natural fit on the left-hand side of the team. I thought he had a decent enough game at Brentford, but he's not. You're not looking at that Liverpool have got a front three, really. I don't think. I think you're looking at, you've got two plus Ox, and Ox is sort of doing a job, whereas at least if you're playing Gakpo, Nunes, Salah or Firmino, you're looking and saying, right, Liverpool have got three potential sort of match winners there on the pitch, and that can only help.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Hope you enjoyed that one. If you want to see or indeed listen to the entire show in video or podcast form, go on over to redmenplus.com. Sign up from as little as £5 a month and yet you'll get that show in your ears or in your face every single week with Neil, who's got the most amazing insight each and every time he steps into the studio.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.